Welcome to BrandonVaught.com. Today I have the special joy of interviewing Dr. Ralph Martin. Ralph is a renowned Catholic speaker and a leader in the Catholic charismatic movement. And he's also the host of EWTN's longest running television show called The Choices We Face. Ralph is also the author of many books, including the modern spiritual classic called The Fulfillment of All Desire. And he's also an expert on a subject very dear to my heart, the new evangelization. Ralph recently wrote a short ebook titled The New Evangelization, which I've reviewed here on the blog. And his most recent book is called Will Many Be Saved? What Vatican II Actually Teaches and Its Implications for the New Evangelization, which we'll be discussing in this interview. But in specific regards to the new evangelization, Ralph has recently received two great honors straight from Pope Benedict XVI. One of them is that Ralph was named as a consultor to the Pontifical Council for the new evangelization. And the second is that he was invited to attend the upcoming Synod on the new evangelization, for which he'll leave in just about a week here. And so, Ralph, it's my great joy to be talking with you, so thank you and welcome.
Well, thanks, Brandon. Good to be here. Our mutual friend, Bert Gezzi, has spoken highly of you, and I know we met briefly in Rome last year.
Yeah, likewise. I know Bert thinks the world of you. Mm-hmm. So let's begin by talking about this new evangelization. Yeah. It's kind of become a buzz phrase among Catholics, but there's still a lot of confusion about what it is and what it means.
Yeah.
How would you define the new evangelization?
Yeah. Well, let's just start very briefly what evangelization is, because that's like the basis on which the new evangelization builds. And evangelization in some ways means everything that the church is doing, but its core definition that John Paul II gives, for example, is Christian conversion, actually making a decision to follow Jesus Christ and be his disciple. So the core of it is actually conversion. So new evangelization, you might ask, well, what's new about it? Well, one of the things that's new about it is who it's directed to. It's directed now not just to people who have never heard the gospel before, but now it needs to be directed to people who perhaps have grown up as Catholics, been baptized as babies, but aren't living as disciples of Christ and may not even have a clue about what it means to be a Christian or what it means to be a Catholic. So the new evangelization is primarily new in who it's directed to, people who we wouldn't think of needing to evangelize before, our fellow Catholics who aren't really practicing the faith or living the faith. It's also new in who does it. Us Catholics have been thinking, you know, well, priests and nuns do that, you know, missionaries do that, not me. But another thing that's new about the new evangelization is who does it? Us baptized Catholics, you know. We all have been baptized into the life and mission of Jesus, and so Jesus wants to continue to work through us to carry forward his mission to seek and to save those who are lost. Mm. It's also new, John Paul II says, new in ardor, new in fervor, new in expressions, new in method.
Excellent. I think that's a really comprehensive definition. Great. Now, in your new book, Will Many Be Saved, you talk about the new evangelization, but you look at it through the lens of a specific document from Vatican II, Lumen Gentium. And you argue, and I think quite convincingly, that one paragraph in particular, paragraph 16, is key to the new evangelization, and a proper interpretation of that passage is almost the hinge on which the success of the new evangelization will be. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. Well, my reason for writing the book is as I go around and visit with people, I would say what the picture that most Catholics have in their mind of the world would be something like this. Broad and wide is the way that leads to heaven, and almost everybody's going that way, but narrow is the door and difficult the road that leads to hell, and hardly anybody's going that way. Now, this is a little scary because it's just the opposite
of what Jesus
said. Yeah. So how did we get to this point where so many of our fellow Catholics are believing something as a matter of gospel truth that's just the opposite of the gospel truth? Matthew 7, 13, 14, broad and wide is the way that leads to destruction, and many are traveling that way, but narrow is the door that leads to life, and few there are who are finding it. So when I started talking to people about it, they said, well, Ralph, of course that's what the scripture says, and that's what the tradition says, but Vatican II changed all that.
Of course.
Yeah. I said, well, you know what? It didn't. And so I really studied Vatican II, and the seminary where I'm also teaching asked me to go on and get a doctorate in Rome. I said I'd be willing to do that if I could write on this topic, because I think that this is something in the back of people's minds that's really undermining their conviction about whether this really makes a difference or not. Like, evangelize, why? Why bother? Everybody's a good person. Everybody's going to heaven. So anyway, what section 16 of Constitution of the Church actually says is it is possible under certain circumstances for people who have never heard the gospel to find salvation. The conditions are that it's not their fault that they're ignorant of the gospel, that nevertheless they're sincerely seeking God and want to know Him and want to know His will. And thirdly, they're living according to the light that God has given to every person's conscience, assisted by grace. And we don't have time to get into that, but that's really important. But then it goes on to say, and what happens there is almost everybody pays attention to that section of the council document, and they say, oh, it's possible for people to be saved without hearing the gospel. I guess everybody is. They make this huge leap from possibility to probability to almost certainty. Even great theologians writing about this kind of stop there. But the last three sentences are really important, and what it says is very often, deceived by the evil one, human beings exchange the truth of God for a lie and worship the creature rather than the Creator. Therefore, for the sake of these people's salvation, it's urgent that we carry out our mission of evangelization. So even though it's theoretically possible for people in certain circumstances to be saved without hearing the gospel, as a matter of practical fact, we're not working in a neutral environment. I mean, the world, the flesh, and the devil are pretty darn active in everybody's life. Even us as Catholics, with all the help we have, know that there's this threats to our, you know, our salvation. And so I just feel like restoring a sense that it's not automatic that everybody's saved, and a lot of people, as a matter of fact, aren't seeking God and aren't living according to the light of the conscience, they really need to be called to faith and repentance and baptism.
Now, with the modern cultures leaning toward a more universalistic type of a theology, and in conjunction with a dismissal generally of hell in particular, how can we really reintroduce the stakes that are at play here when we're talking about salvation? How for the average Catholic can we reinvigorate them with the reality of what's at stake?
Well, you know, that little ebook that you mentioned, I tried to do something there. This book, more in depth. But a very simple way, I think, for the ordinary Catholic to think about how to talk about this in a good way would be John 3:16. And there's a lot of little things in there that people don't tend to notice. You know, God so loved the world, that this is all about love, it all comes out of love. God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. So the way that God is expressing His love to the human race is through Jesus. I mean, you might say, well, what about Buddha? What about Muhammad? Well, this is how God's doing it. You know, this is. Hey, you know, talk to God about it, but look, He's loving you through Jesus. God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever would believe in Him. So it's not just enough that God gave His only Son. There needs to be a response on our part. And a lot of people say, oh, Jesus' redemption is enough for the salvation of the whole world, which is absolutely true. But there has to be a response. There has to be saying a yes to mercy. You know, I am a sinner. I need forgiveness. Yes, I need salvation. So there needs to be faith in God's only Son. So God so loved the world, He gave His only Son, that those who believe in Him would not perish. Hey, what's this about perishing?
We skip over that part.
Yeah. I mean, something's really at stake. I mean, we're really in grave danger of being separated from God forever unless we respond to the invitation that God's giving us to be reconciled with Him. And so the perishing part, people just kind of like, going to skip over, you know, and it's an important part of the whole Revelation, the whole biblical world picture that's carried forward in the scripture tradition and the teaching of the church, including Vatican II.
So. You mentioned that responding to the personal invitation of Jesus Christ, which has been a crucial theme of the new evangelization in both Benedict and John Paul and Paul VI. With this upcoming synod on the new evangelization, which you'll be attending, what do you hope and expect the synod to accomplish?
Well, I do hope that the Synod will give some attention to this practical universalism. And I think the Popes have been very aware that the call to new evangelization isn't really connecting with the average Catholic. And in all the post-conciliar documents on evangelization, they're saying, some people are saying, you know, the age of missions is over. What has happened to that fervor? What has happened to that enthusiasm? John Paul II, his encyclical on Mission of the Redeemer, says, you know, there's so much confusion about whether we still need to evangelize or not. And then a few years later, Dominus Iesus, the church trying to clarify that Jesus and the church are uniquely the means that God has given for the salvation of the human race. Then the doctrinal note on evangelization just in 2004 says we have to clear up this confusion. The confusion isn't being cleared up because Dominus Iesus is only half of the answer. So the fact that Jesus and the church are the unique way in which God has given for the human race to be saved still leaves people the out of saying, well, everybody mysteriously is connecting with Jesus in the church, even though they don't know it. So eat, drink, and be merry, because everybody's going on the Broadway leading to heaven. So I think the church really needs to pull out those last three sentences of Lumen Gentium 16 and say, it isn't a gimme, and this isn't just about enriching people's lives or helping people discover who they really are. This is about the difference between heaven and hell for many people. And there's something really resting on us preaching the gospel. Preaching the gospel or not.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Now, to close, let me ask a very practical question. For ordinary Catholics in the pew who have heard about this new evangelization for many years and will certainly hear about it in this upcoming year of faith, what are some practical ways that we, the lay Catholics, can live out this new evangelization?
There's so many natural, simple ways in which an ordinary Catholic can respond to new evangelization. For example, you know, when there's like a parish mission going on, or, you know, a speaker like you is coming to town, rather than just saying, hey, will I get anything out of this, or do I have time to go? Also think about, is there anybody in my life that really could use to hear more about who the Lord is and needs to have their faith awakened or needs to be invited back to the church? Or, for example, after people read a good spiritual book, rather than just throwing it on their shelf, say, hey, is there anybody that really needs to know more about the Lord that I can give this book to, and ask them to read it and get into a discussion about it? Or, for example, somebody, you know, goes away for a retreat or goes to a seminar, and they're back at work the next day, and somebody says, what'd you do this weekend? Well, rather than just telling them about watching the football game, you know, tell them where you are, see what happens. I mean, you know, the worst that can happen is they change the subject, you know? And the very worst that could happen is they could take out a gun and shoot you. And, of course, that's the best possible outcome.
You'll die a martyr.
Yeah, I know. Fabulous. I mean, you know, so a Christian can't lose.
Yeah,
know?
Right.
A Christian can't lose.
Good, good. Well, thank you so much again for taking the time to chat. Again, Ralph's two latest books, one of them is The New Evangelization, which is a real short ebook that can be digested in just an hour or two. And it's only 99 cents, so you have no reason not to get it. And his other recent book is Will Many Be Saved? What Vatican II actually teaches and its implications for the new evangelization. Ralph, I know we're all going to be eagerly following you and the upcoming Synod on the new evangelization, and we're really excited to see what happens. So good luck, Godspeed, and thanks for tuning in to this interview. For more articles, interviews, book reviews, and more, check out my website, brandonvaught.com. Thank you.